You're listening to a UC San Diego podcast.
So Raul Gomez is one of the TAs. He has office hours every Tuesday. Every Tuesday and every Wednesday. So and there is Calc Lab, right? You can check so every day there are tutors in the Calc Lab. And the schedule of that is posted online, so. On the course web page, you can check the schedule of the TAs in the Calc Lab. Every day there are TAs there. You can get help there too. You can get help either in the Calc Lab or from the TA or from me in office hours. Yeah. Any question? So I'm just going to do a review today. So today is just a review. I'm just going to solve some exercises from the material that we have learned so far. So I want to solve this problem. We have a function, we know it's continuous, and we know it's maximum. How do you prove that its integral is less than 35 on that interval? So how should I do that? So I want to prove that the integral of f is less than 35. So what do I know about f itself? F is less than what?
7.
F is less than 7.
Exactly.
So when I say the maximum is 7, it means that f is less than 7, right? So since the maximum is 7, f of x is less than or equal to 7 for all x in right? So I can say that. I can say that f of x is less than or equal to 7 for all x in that on that interval, right? So now I can use the theorem that if f is less than g, then the integral of f is less than integral of g. So because this is less than that, I can take the integral of both sides on that interval. So on this interval, I can say take the integral of both sides from minus 1 to 4. And what is this integral? Integral of 7 is 7x, right? Integral of 7 is 7 times x. 7 is a number, is a constant. So 7x from minus 1 to 4. And that gives me 7 times 4 minus 7 times minus 1. And that gives me 7 times 4 plus 1 and a 7 times 5, and that's 35. So this integral is less than 35. Right? So to prove that this is less than 35, first I need a restriction on f. And how do I get a restriction on f? I get from this information. If the maximum of f is 7, it means that f is less than 7, right? The maximum is 7, so it's the maximum is 7, so it's always less than 7. That's why the maximum is 7, right? Any question? So I use this theorem that if f is less than g, integral of f is less than. I'm using this that if f of x is less than or equal to g of x. This is f. If f of x is less than or equal to g of x on some interval, then integral of f of x from a to b is less than or equal to integral of g of x from a to b. So I'm using this theorem. Any question? model example. So this integral is given, and then you want to find this integral. So how can I find this integral knowing this integral is 10? Yes, exactly. So I can split this and then use that to find this integral. I'm using the fact that, so I'm using this, that this integral is, so integral from minus 2 to 4 of 3fx minus 1 dx. This is equal to 3 times integral minus 2, 4, fx, dx, minus integral minus 2, 4, 1, dx. So that's the property of integral, that if you have addition or subtraction, you can split it into two integrals. The first one plus, or in this case, minus the second one. And then if you have a constant, 3 times that, you can bring constant out of integral. So those are properties of integral that we're using here. So that's the crucial point. And then based on that, you can find the integral, right? So this is the main part of this question. I know that this is 10, right? I know that this is 10. And then I can use that to find this integral. I want to find this integral, and I know that this whole thing is 10. So this tells me that, so this is equal to 3 times integral I can find the second integral, right? The second integral, I can find it. Integral of 1 is x. So integral, the antiderivative of 1 is x. So x from minus 2 to 4. So this gives me 3 times integral minus, this is x from 4 to minus 2, so that's 4 minus minus 2. So that gives me 3 times So this is, I know that this is 10, right? It's given that this is equal to 10. So I can use that to find this integral. So So this is given, and then this tells me that so this is 16, so I can find that integral. Right, so this is the answer. Any question? Another example. So that's another question. So you want to use symmetry, right? You want to use the fact that F is odd. So F being odd, what kind of information does that give to me? How can I use that in this problem? So any idea? Sorry? It's symmetric with respect to the origin, yes. So what does that tell me in terms of integral if I have an odd function? Yes? Exactly. Correct. So the integral from negative 3 to 3 is 0. If you have an odd function, the integral from negative a to a, for any a, is 0. So that's why I know that from negative 3 to 3 is 0. So this to 5, this, I can write that as from negative 3 to 3 plus integral from 3 to 5. Right? So that's, again, another property of integral. I can write it as this minus 3 to 5 as integral from minus 3 to 3 plus 3 to 5. And because f is odd, this part is 0. This is 0. So this is just integral from 3 to 5 fx dx. The first term is 0 because f is odd. So this integral is equal to 8 as well. Right? So in general, if f is odd, then integral from negative a to a, for any a, is 0. So if f is odd, that's always the case. If f is even, integral from negative a to a fx dx is equal to 2 times integral from 0 to a fx dx. Exactly, yes. So if f is even, you can also say that this is equal to 2 times integral from negative a to 0 fx dx. Because these two are equal, from negative a to 0, and then the integral from 0 to a are equal. These two integrals are equal. Any question? In the end of last lecture, I gave an example. Just want to reiterate that. So I said t, f, t, but it doesn't matter. You can say x and fx. It's just a name, right? So it doesn't matter if you want. You can change that. It just means the graph of f. So it doesn't matter what you call your variable. The reason, this is not t. So this is x. This is x, sorry. So, yeah. So g is a function of x. T here is just I can't change this t to x because this is different from this, right? I can't put this x and that x because they are not the same. So t is just a name that I give to express this integral, right? So t is not important. What's important here is x. G is a function of x. You can say f of s ds. It's just a name that I'm using. So we already had such an example in the first or second week of lecture. We had the graph of f, and then we want to have the graph of the integral. So in this case, I want the graph of g, and g is the integral. So if you remember, we had examples like this. I had exactly this example in one of the lectures. I just want to put the other example and say that these questions are the same. So in one of the previous lectures, I had this example. Just want to keep them together. So I had this example in one of the lectures, and so this is exactly the same question. You want to find, so in that, in both cases, let's say you want to find, so little g is the same as capital F. So little g here is the capital F there. And here I want to say, so as I said, this is exactly the same thing. What it's saying is the same thing that what is this one is saying. So gx being equal to this exactly means that g prime of x is equal to f of x, and g of 0 is 0. So these two conditions that I mentioned here are the same condition, are equivalent to this condition, that f is this. So here g prime of x, by fundamental theorem of calculus, g prime of x is equal to f of x. So little g is just is capital F there. And f of 0 is 0, here g of 0 is 0, because g of 0 is integral from 0 to 0, right? If I want f of 1 to be 0, right, let's say I change the condition that f of 1 is 0. In that case, all I need to do is change this lower limit to 1. Then from 1 to x. In that case, g of 1 is 0. Because integral from 1 to 1 of anything is 0. So in general, integral from a to a of anything is 0. So this means that. So this means this is equivalent to g prime of x is equal to f of x, and g of 0 is 0. So, yeah, so g is the capital F here. And then I want to sketch the graph. So is there any questions so far? That, can you see that these two are the same questions? So last time the question was how to find the maximum and minimum. So if I sketch the graph, then you can answer all those questions. What's the maximum? What's the minimum? What points of inflection? All of them can be answered if you sketch the graph, right? So as I mentioned in that example, the connection between little f and capital F is this. In both cases, capital F is little g there. So you had this table, little f and then capital F. So if f is positive, is greater than 0, if f is greater than 0, what does that tell me in terms of capital F? Sorry? It's positive? No, if I'm saying if the little f is positive, then no, the capital F doesn't have to be positive. It's increasing, yeah. So little f is the derivative, right? Little f is a derivative of capital F. If the derivative is positive, it means that if the derivative of capital F is positive, it means that capital F is increasing. So you need this table to sketch the graph of capital F. If little f is less than 0, is negative, then what does that mean in terms of capital F? It's decreasing, exactly. So the derivative is negative, it means that the derivative of capital F is negative, it means that capital F is decreasing. Yeah. No, this function. This is F. This is X. This is F of X. I'm talking about, so I'm talking about little f, which means the derivative of capital F, right? I'm talking about this function, or equivalently, I'm talking about the derivative of, I'm talking about the derivative of capital F. That's the same thing as little f, right? In both examples, in that example, the same. The derivative of f is just, the derivative of g is just f. So if f is increasing, what does that tell me about capital F? It's concave up, exactly. So if f is increasing, it means that little f is increasing. So it means that its derivative is positive, right? Increasing means the derivative is positive. So the derivative of f means the second derivative of capital F. The second derivative positive means concave up. And if decreasing, it means that it's concave down, right? Decreasing, so derivative of little f, which means the second derivative of capital F is negative. The second derivative being negative means that it's concave down. Now, based on these tables, you can sketch the graph. So let's sketch this graph first. So this is capital F in terms of x. So in the beginning, little f is positive. Positive means above x-axis. Negative means below x-axis, right? So first of all, f of 0 is 0. So this is actually g. So I'm calling capital F g here. So I know that g of 0 is 0, right? G of 0 is 0. It means that I'm going to start. So I'm going to sketch the graph on this interval between 0 and 6, right? I have this graph between 0 and 6. So I want to draw this graph between 0 and 6 as well. So at point 0, I know that g of 0 is 0. So g of 0 is 0. So I have to start. So this is a point on the graph because g of 0 is 0. So that's the point on the graph of g. And then so I have to start from here. This is my starting point, and then I see what happens after that, right? You start from here, and then so after 0, this is above x-axis, right? Above x-axis, so this graph is not below. It's above x-axis. So it means that little f is positive. Little f positive from the table means that capital F is increasing, right? So it's increasing in the beginning. So increasing can have two forms. It could be increasing concave down like this or increasing concave up like this. So there are two choices. So I have to see, is it concave up or concave down? So the first one is concave down. The second one is concave up. So this is increasing, right? It starts from 0 and it increases. So because it's increasing, it's concave up. So this is not correct. So this is correct. It's concave up. It's like that. Until 1, right? Until 1, between 0 and 1. After 1, it's still positive, right? After 1 is still above x-axis. So it's still increasing. After 1 is still increasing. But I mean, capital F is increasing. But after 1, little f is decreasing. So it's positive because positive increasing, but little f is decreasing. Because little f is decreasing, it means that capital F must be concave down. So after this, it must increase again, but it must be concave down. So it's going to increase. It's not going to go back. It's going to increase, but it's going to be concave down. So it's going to be this way after this point. So this point is the point of inflection. The point that the concavity changes, that point is called point of inflection. So this one is the point of inflection. By definition, point of inflection means the points that the concavity changes. It's concave up, and then after that is concave down. So that point is called point of inflection. So and that means, so one here, if you check, that's the point that little f is maximum. So that means, so that's the point that the derivative of little f is zero. So the second derivative of g is zero. So one is the point that the second derivative is zero. And that's another way to check its point of inflection. Yeah, but the correct definition of point of inflection is this, the exact, that the concavity changes. The point that the concavity changes, those points are called points of inflection. One is called in. So x equals 1 is a, yeah. So it until 2, right? Until 2, it's going to be like that, increasing. After 2, it's below x-axis, right? It's below x-axis, so it's decreasing. If f is negative, it's decreasing. It's decreasing, so capital F is decreasing. So it has to go this way, decreasing, right? So it has to go either like that, decreasing concave down, or decreasing concave up. So again, you have two cases. I have to see, is it, so it is decreasing, so there are two cases, concave up or concave down. So you see that it is decreasing, it is negative and decreasing. So little f is decreasing. So because little f is decreasing, so it's concave down. So it's concave down. So it's like this, right? Four. And as you see, it's not symmetric. What I'm discussing here is symmetric, but shouldn't be, because this is 1, 2, and then it's 4. So this part is bigger than that part. So it's more decreasing. So I have to go more. Let's say, yeah. This is 4. It's not symmetric, right? Because this is 2, this is 4. This part is bigger than that part. So it shouldn't be symmetric. And then after 4, it's again below x-axis. Little f is still negative. So little f negative means that it's still decreasing. So it's still going to decrease. But little f is increasing. So because this is increasing, it's going up, right? So because this is increasing, it means that it's concave up, capital F. So after this, the concavity changes. It's concave down. After that, it's concave up, but it's still decreasing. So it's like that, up to 6. So that's the graph. And again, this is 4. So 4 is, again, another point of inflection. Because at 4, the concavity changes. So there are two points of inflection here. One of them is 1. The other one is 4. So 1 and 4 are both. So 1 and 4 are both points of inflection. At 4, again, the concavity changes. And so I can just say that the quality of the graph is this, right? I can't say exactly I don't know what is this point. Right? I can't compute what is capital F at what is the maximum. I can tell you that the maximum occurs at 2. So when x is 2, the maximum occurs. But what is the maximum with this information that I have? I don't have enough information to tell you what is the maximum. I can just say that it occurs at 2. I can't tell you what is g of 2. Because to compute g of 2, I need to compute this integral. I need to find the area under the curve, and I don't have enough information here to find area under the curve. But in this example, I can. In this example, more information is given, and I can exactly tell you what is the maximum. Any question? Yeah. So again, yeah, it could. I don't know if it's ends. I mean, f g of 4. I'm assuming that it's positive. It could not be. I mean, it's possible that it goes below, right? So with this information, I can't tell you. But what I can tell you is, in the end, it's going to be negative. In the end, it's going to cross, because this part. Most places it's negative, right? Little f is positive only here, but after that, in most places it's negative. So it's more increasing than it's more decreasing than it's increasing. So I can tell you that in the end it must be below, but it could be that this is below. It's possible, right? So, and actually this is the integral. So it means that g of 6 is the integral from 0 to 6. So that's exactly this area. This area minus that area. And obviously this area is bigger than that area. So this area minus that area is negative. And g of 6 is exactly this area minus that area. Right? G is defined as the integral. So g is the area. So, yeah. So let's do this one now. This graph that I already did before, but again using so this is x, this is f of x. So this is the same. Again, in this example, capital F is just integral. So I know that f of 0 is 0. So I have to start from here. F of 0 is 0. I have to start from there. And in the beginning, this is 0. Between 0 and 1, it's negative. It's below, right? F of x is below the x-axis. So it's negative but increasing. Because it's negative, this must be decreasing, right? This must be decreasing. But concave down or concave up, it's increasing, right? It's increasing, so it's concave up. So this is correct. It can't be like this, because this is decreasing, that's correct, but it's concave down. I want it to be concave up, so it must be like this. Until 1, right? Until 1, it's like that. After 1, it's again increasing. All the time, it's always increasing. This graph is always increasing. So this means that this graph is always concave up. So it's always concave up. And it's positive. After 1, it's no longer negative. It's positive. So because this is positive, this is increasing. But after this, it's going to be increasing. So now this graph is symmetric. So I can tell you that this must end here. Because unlike that one, which is not symmetric, this one is symmetric. So in the end, you can tell that it must end the same place that we started, the same place you have to end. So it's going to end here. This must be symmetric. So this is 2. And what is the minimum? I can tell you that the minimum occurs at 1. X equals 1, the minimum occurs at that point. But what is it? What is the minimum? I can exactly tell you what is the minimum. The minimum is the integral, and I can find the integral. So, capital F as I said, comparing to that, is just the integral from 0 to x of fx dx. So this, the same way that this is integral, the same way that's the integral. That's the antiderivative, and that's the way to, I can say that g of f of x is just the integral. So when I say these two is the same thing as this. And now I can tell you what is f, and this must be 0, because f of 0 is 0. And now I can tell you what is f of 1. I can tell you what is the minimum. The minimum occurs at 1. So f of 1 is the minimum. So what is f of 1? F of 1 is the integral from 0 to 1 of fx dx. And what is integral from 0 to 1? That's the area under the curve. That's this area. And that's just a rectangle. I can find that area. That area is 1 times 1 divided by 2, but negative, because it's under the x-axis. So it's equal to negative half, right? The area of this rectangle is half, half times 1 times 1. But because it's below the x-axis, you have to multiply by negative 1. So this is negative half. So the minimum occurs at 1. So the minimum is minus half, and it occurs at x equals 1. Any question? Yeah. This one? I have to start from 0, and then I know that it's decreasing. Because it's decreasing, I have to go down. I know that it's decreasing because little f is negative. Yeah. Okay, thank you.
The last lecture you may see here, the second fundamental theorem here is A or 0.
Zero.
It's 0.
It's A. Yeah.
Any constant A. A works.
Yeah.
No matter it's negative, positive, or zero.
It doesn't matter, yeah.
Okay, thank you so much.
I'm signed up for a class that occurs, or I want to sign up for a class that is happening at the same time my section is happening. And
you want to go to a class that's
at the same time as my section?
Okay. What time is your section?
I said 7 p.m. And I don't have any other times I can go to section for this class, but I was wondering...
you want to go to a section which is not for this class. That's what you're saying?
This has been a UC San Diego podcast. For more, visit podcast.ucsd.edu.